Lord, again, we thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for making us aware of who we are in you. We pray now that you give us ears to hear what your Spirit is telling us, teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title is called Faith with Power. Faith with Power. The text is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Faith is so important. Jesus spoke of faith 41 times in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, 171 times. We know the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe Jesus, the Son of God, he's given you his Holy Spirit, and faith overcomes the world. We're going to talk about that. Ephesians 2:8 was my favorite scripture verse. It still is. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift is salvation, God's grace, but faith is what activates you receiving it. If you don't act in faith to receive Christ, his gift is there, but it's useless. It's like having a gift under the Christmas tree and no one comes to claim it. Faith is the key that opens up God's grace to your life. In Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Faith, salvation. To the Jew first, also to the Greek, verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by his faith. But the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from glory to glory. You start off with salvation, you have a little faith, and then he takes you to another level of faith, and then to another level of faith. So we grow in knowing God, his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, and the power of God in faith. So there's our text in 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Listen up. This is great. When he comes to be glorified in his saints, that's us, on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed. So I believe, you believe, I'm going to marvel at God's glory changing your life, changing your body, giving you an immortal body. The glory of him is going to be shining through you and through me. It's going to be marveled by all those who believe. For our testimony to you was believed. Now, to this end also, we pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness, and here it is, and the work of faith with power. See, we have faith, but I think we lack power. The work of faith with power. That's what I want to talk about. How does that come? Is that God's plan for your life? You believe, you got faith, but then you got power. Power when you pray. Power to hear the Holy Spirit. Power to be anointed to speak. The power of God. I got faith, I believe, but do you got power? So his prayer was that you would be counted worthy of the calling he has on your life, and that you would he would fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Now listen to this. So that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you. See, when the power of God is in the person, Jesus is glorified. It's not, wow, where'd you get that power from? Well, I went to school and you know, I was brought up in the faith. No, it's God that's getting glorified in you. You know, when Paul did the miracles, they wanted to worship him as one of the gods. And he said, no, this is not me. He said, this is God. Believe in God. Give the glory to God. But that is our inheritance, to allow God to be glorified in us by faith with his power. according to the grace of our God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the next step I want to bring you to is God is developing your faith from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from little power to more power. Four times in the book of Matthew, four times he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Oh, ye of little faith. Why would he keep harping on that little faith, little faith, little faith, little faith? Because it's faith that overcomes the world. It's faith that allows miracles to happen in our life. Now, I know there's been extremes where people have hijacked that word faith and said, well, you can't get out of that wheelchair because you don't have enough faith. I know that. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We still need faith, and we have to operate in faith. And I'll get to that in a minute. But in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 30, Jesus said, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow it's thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. So you see, it was a lack of faith. Be anxious about tomorrow. He said, tomorrow has enough problems of itself. It's a lack of faith. When you have faith, they say the devil wants to take your faith away. If he can rob you of your faith, that's the channel that everything happens in. I don't know about God. Oh, ye of little faith, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I mean, some of us have been following the Lord for many years. Some have just starting. But I could tell you this. This is God's truth. You put him first in your life, and he'll take care of the rest. You prioritize him. Let the dead bury the dead. First, let me go back and say goodbye. No, you follow me, Jesus says. You put him first. Now, there's the sacrifice, and there's faith. Now, the scriptures clearly tell us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seek him how? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible. You are saved by grace through faith. And faith continues in our life. Sometimes as Christians, we just stop there. And we don't grow in the faith and in the power that God has for you. The second time, I said there was four times, and I want you to see how he's developing their faith and how he's going to develop your faith. In Matthew 8:24, we see there's a storm, and Jesus is asleep in the boat. Behold, there was arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? What do you mean, Lord? We're sinking. I don't need faith. I need you. So he was sleeping. Do you think he was really sleeping, and he didn't know what was happening? Or maybe he's developing their faith. Oh, ye of little faith, I'm in the boat. I'm here. You see me do other miracles. So he's developing their faith with them seeing him in the boat. And then we'll see in the next picture how he's developing their faith to even be stronger. He's no longer in the boat, but a storm is coming. And he's walking on the water, and they say, well, it's a ghost. He said, take courage, it's me. And then Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out to you. And the Lord Jesus said, come, Peter. And Peter started walking on the water. So notice there's a difference here. In first, Jesus was asleep in the boat. I believe he was developing their faith so that they would say, no, he's here. Why else would he say, ye of little faith? Come on, Lord. I'm supposed to have faith. We're drowning here, but I'm here with you. Now that's baby faith. That's when we all know God is with us. And we could say, no, I sense God. I know he's here. I have a bigger picture of him. He's been speaking to me. I see people coming around me. I see it's Jesus. But then he pulls back a little bit. And he says to Peter and the crew, he said, go out in the boat. And he went up to the mountain. Now a storm was coming. He knew a storm was coming. But he still sent them out. Why? Because he wanted to develop their faith. Faith in him. Faith in his word. So let's read it. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately, that is after he fed the 5,000, he made his disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side. Now, while he sent the crowds away, but the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by waves, for the wind was contrary. So now, Jesus walks on the water, and he's coming at them. They say, it's a ghost. He said, no, it's me. And then Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Verse 30. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Do you see again? That's the third time. Ye of little faith. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about tomorrow. Put God first. Ye of little faith. And then Jesus sleeping in the boat. Wake up, Lord. We're trying. Ye of little faith. And now Jesus walking on the water, walking towards them. Peter, if that's you, say come. And he comes and he starts walking on the water. You would see Jesus would say, hey, you did good, man. Come on, let's go back. But he started to sink. And Jesus immediately grabbed him. What was Jesus teaching him? Faith. He couldn't see Jesus. He wasn't in the boat. Now he had to apply more faith. And that faith got him to walk on water. Huh. Listen, I'm not there yet. But I can tell you this. For God to be glorified in his saints, to have faith with power, I need to develop my faith and I need God to help me develop my faith. Because there's more power of God in my walk with him than I could ever dream of, and for you too. It's not just being in church. It's him being glorified in you, and faith activates it. Why did you doubt? And here's the fourth time he said, you of little faith. Matthew 17, 19 through 21. Then the disciples came to Jesus. He just came off the Mount Transfiguration. And there was a father there who had a demon-possessed son, and the disciples could not cast out this demon. And so Jesus cast out the demon. And here's what the disciples said in verse 19. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of your littleness of faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, I mean, faith is something different than just a virtue. It's what God has given us for salvation. We walk by faith and not by sight. We receive the promises of God through faith and patience. We receive the promises of God. Faith is so important. And God is developing your faith and my faith to a higher level, especially before his return. Are you feeling a little pressure at times? This is not how it used to be. This is not Kansas. Things have changed. The devil has risen up. Evil has risen up. We have to rise up and say, God, is this your will for me? And I'll tell you, yes, it is. Well, I don't like it. Well, listen, I don't like going through. I don't like to be in a storm. Who does? But Jesus sent them out into the storm to develop their faith because he knew he was leaving and they needed to live on this earth by faith, and so do we. Faith is kind of surrendering your feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, I look by sight, I say, ah, the waves, I start sinking. I see the wind, ah, I see the problems, ah. And I go through that. Don't think I don't. You do too. And I say, Lord, have mercy on me. But I do know his path is faith right now. And I do know that I will start sinking and he'll stick his hand out to help me, but I don't want to sink. I want to walk in victory. For this is the victory that has overcome the world. My faith. Oh, I love victory. When you see a trouble, you see a problem, you see them walking around the walls of Jericho, walking around. They believed God by faith that the walls would come down. Don't you think that they were seeing these thick walls, there were chariots could walk right across, and there was a house on it, Rahab's house on it, a thick wall. God said, just walk around. And then on the last time, just blow the trumpet 7 times. And the walls came down. But that was faith. They couldn't go into the promised land because they didn't have faith. Oh, these giants are bigger than us, Joshua and Caleb. No, God has given us the land. That's ours. We'll take it. Faith again. 141 times in the Old Testament. Faith, faith, faith. It's always been faith. We're always challenged to not believe or to let our feelings get the best of us rather than, God, help me, because you know my mind is right now fearful. You know right now, Lord, things don't look good, but one thing is I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to rest in you and trust you. Come what may, I'm trusting you. So he said, you of littleness of faith, after Jesus cast out that demon. But he said, if you have faith, it's a mustard seed. But this kind does not go except through prayer and fasting. So there's a connection to prayer as well, to develop your faith. Faith through power. Now, Matthew 21, verse 20, Jesus is going into the city of Jerusalem. He's going to clear out the temple. But before he goes there, on his way there, he curses the fig tree. And on their way back, you know, they see it's withered. Boom, gone. And his disciples in verse 20 of Matthew 21, seeing this, the disciples were amazed and they asked, how did the fig tree wither all at once? And Jesus answered and said to them, truly, I say to you. And he's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. You say, well, that was just for the apostles. No. The gifts and the power of God did not diminish when the apostles died. His church goes on. His power goes on. He's still the same. There may not be actual apostles today in that degree of those who have seen God would be eligible to be an apostle. That was the requirement. But there are, in a different sense, apostles who build churches and what have you. They're still evangelists. It goes on. But this, he said, seeing this, the disciples amazed. How did the fig tree wither? And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you had the faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Do you think he was given hyperbole here? If you had the purest faith and it was God who gave you that faith to move a mountain, it would move. But he's given here an example. All you need is a little faith. Faith that believes God. Now, how do you get that? God develops it, but I'm yielding. Lord, help me. And he'll send some storms in your life. He'll give you some challenges. Can you be faithful in the little things? Why would he give you more if you can't be faithful in the little things? That's what he says. Faithfulness is part of your faith. You want more power? I do. More power means more God. But he said this, all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. And then Jesus said in John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, prayer glorifies God. Whatever you ask in my name. You've heard Christians where they pray in Jesus' name. It's not a carte blanche. It's not a little tag on, I pray in Jesus' name. You're praying his will be done. Lord, I'm praying because you have now given me access to go to the Father, to go to the throne of grace, and to receive from you. So it's in Jesus' righteousness. It's in Jesus' name that I can pray. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's why we say it. It's not because, well, I guess it's the right way to say it as a Christian. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say amen if you're with me. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Now, whatever you ask in my name. Well, Lord, you know, I'd like to have that the Mercedes outside, you know, in your name. And Jesus said, okay. Go to the junkyard and you'll find one over there. And here's the $2 I gave you the other day. You know, pick it up. It's yours. He's not going to give us carte blanche to our flesh. He says, you have not why. And when you do ask, you ask with the wrong motives. But he goes on to say in James, have faith. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. Have faith. We're no different. Have faith. You know, there's a saying, you might have heard of it, maybe you haven't. Apathy brings atrophy. You know what atrophy is, right? When you don't use the muscles, it disintegrates. If you don't walk, you're going to be in a day where you won't be able to walk. You don't use things, you lose things. So apathy, okay, it is what it is. Atrophy sets in. Spiritual apathy. Your fire, the power of God, your love for God, it starts disintegrating. I've seen it. I know it. I know my own life. If I'm not staying on point, I'm Lord crying out, God, God, help me, because I seem to be putting other things in front of you right now. Help me. And he does, because that's his desire. But if you don't exercise faith, atrophy will set in. The story is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. They were all, Galatians were saved by faith. They loved God. They believed that circumcision didn't make you right with God. They believed it was faith in Jesus Christ that got them saved. But they started to drift away from that. And the Lord, and Paul had to correct them. And he says this in chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive, hear this, this is important. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So ask yourself a question. Did you receive salvation by your works or by faith believing in his works? You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, and it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. If you think if you become good enough, that's going to get you to heaven, you're wrong. You don't get to heaven by comparing your good works against your bad works. That's a false doctrine. You get to heaven strictly by faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And now that's beautiful, because I can't do enough. I could never do enough. And if you think you can, you're going to go into legalism and you're going to put yourself in bondage and you're going to get self-righteous, and it just goes on and on and on. But he's asking them the question. He said, guys, did you get saved by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, because they're being ostracized, the Jews no longer, you know, oh, you're leaving the faith now. And that's what happens when, you know, you being a Catholic, whatever, you start leaving Catholicism and, you know, your family members, oh, you're leaving the faith now. And you kind of, they kind of like pull away a little bit. He's one of those crazies, you know, and that's how they see you. But that's okay. Be crazy for the Lord than be not following him. So he says, did you suffer so many things if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he, capital H, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? There it is again, that word faith. You get saved by faith. He does miracles by faith. The Spirit of God leads you and speaks to you, and you follow by faith. What is God saying to you today? What is he saying to me? I have to step out in faith. They started in the Spirit. They started by faith, but they were now reverting back to a system instead of faith in the Spirit. And guess what? That's what happens to us too. We start off as a born-again followers of Christ on fire, but then it starts reverting to the old system. I got my habit. I know what time I get up. I know where I sit. I know everything here, but you're not sensitive or excited. Lord, what are you saying? What is the Spirit of God saying? We just are now following routine. Can I get an amen? And that's how it happens. That's how the work of God starts in the Spirit, the fire of revival, and then it becomes a method, and then it becomes a Mussolini, where it just becomes something of a denomination. Yeah, I follow that denomination. But are you following the Spirit in that denomination? Jesus said, hey, you're doing everything perfect. You're doing everything, but you left your first love. So they started off in the Spirit, but now they reverted to the old system of Judaism. And I have to apply that to my life. Did you start off in the Spirit? Have you now become dull when you come to church? Lord, what are you saying to me? Is there something that you want me to minister to someone? Do you want me to pray? Do you want me to say a word? Why do I come for church? Okay, is it just to hear and then go? No. It's to hear, but it's to be surrendered. Lord, I come yielding to your Spirit. What are you saying to me? He's got plans for you. Love motivates, but faith activates. Love motivates, but faith activates. Paul said, if I have all faith as to remove the mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. I could have all the faith to remove mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm empty. I'm done. It's nothing. Galatians 5:6, he says it's faith working through love. My motive is love, but it gets activated by faith. You could have faith and not have love, but then the Bible also says faith without works is what? How about faith without love is dead too? Faith without love is dead. You say, really? 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed out of death into life. Proof is because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. You see, you want proof that you're born again? Love. Well, I got faith in Jesus Christ, but I have no love. Well, then maybe you don't have God, for God is love. And if we say I got faith, maybe it's just a doctrine in our heads, but we don't have love. Love is the motive. Faith activates it. Let me give you an example. In John 21:15, when Jesus rose from the dead, Simon Peter denied the Lord the three times already. And it reads this way in verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep. Love is activated by faith to feed his sheep. He said it three times. So I ask you, do you love the Lord? Feed his sheep. Well, no, of course I love the Lord. My faith, I believe in him. He died on the cross for my sins. But faith without love is dead. We know we passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. That's the proof. And if we don't have love in our hearts, we have to ask the question, Lord, why is it? And so you start exercising it. It's faith working through love. So how do we exercise it? And this is the last point. The motive is love. I love you. You say to yourself, well, I love my wife. Well, prove it. Don't give me cheap words. Well, I love my husband. Don't give me cheap words. I need some actions. Well, what is that action? Humble yourself. If you love me, you keep my commandments, the Lord said. Well, I love you, Lord, but do you keep his commandments? And yet the Bible tells me in 1 John, his commandments are not burdensome. So why is it such a burden to follow him? Because my flesh doesn't want to surrender. That's why. So I have to say, Lord, please give me your spirit more so that I can say no to my flesh, to this area of sin, to that anger, to this or that, the other thing. I need you, Lord. And he gives you more of his spirit. Case closed. From faith to faith. From faith just believing to faith that has power, that can minister, that can pray and see your prayers answered. Oh, there's such a difference. I know that's what I want. I know that's what you want too. But I have to exercise faith. So how do I exercise it? Why did Jesus emphasize it so much? Because it's true. Romans 12, 3 to 8. Turn with me there. Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. When you exercise faith, apathy doesn't set in. And when apathy doesn't set in, atrophy will not happen. So through the grace which was given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more proud, highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Now listen, write this down. God has allotted each a measure of faith. He doesn't lie. You have faith. I have faith. Everyone, he has given a measure of faith. It's what you do with it. Well, here, Lord, the two dollars you gave me, here's four. Or here, Lord, the five you gave me according to his ability, here's five more. And then the other guy said, well, what you gave me, I buried it. See, God has given you a measure of faith. Do you bury it or do you use it? Use it or lose it. But when you use it, you get more of God's fire in your life, more of God's power, more of God's love. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You got a free will. And you're on this road as I'm on this road. The devil wants to rob your faith. He's come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and to give it abundantly. That's my God. I'm going to follow faith. So he goes on to say, after each is given a measure of faith, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, okay, so we who are many are one body of Christ. We're one body. We're together. When you hurt, I hurt. When you fall, I feel the pain. When you get blessed, I get blessed. Don't lose that picture there. You're no longer autonomous. You're no longer, I'll go to church on my own, but then you're just a churcher. You're not the body of Christ. The body of Christ sees the connection and involves itself as it was Christ himself. So he says here, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members one of another. Since we have gifts, yes, that differ according to the grace given to each of us, hallelujah, here's the word, exercise them accordingly. Exercise. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If in service, in his serving. Or you who teaches, in your teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. Exhort, hey man, that's great, you're doing a good job, I'm exhorting you. And he who gives, with liberality, Lord, it's yours, it's yours. You've given me and I'm giving it for your work, for your kingdom. And he who leads, with diligence. Not a system, yeah, come in, okay, I'm getting a paycheck every Sunday, whatever it may be. There's no diligence, there's no fire, there's no faith. It's just, hey, I got a whole book of sermons to read from. Let me see, I'll pick this one. No. Lead with diligence. You seek the Lord. Lord, what are you saying? And this is what he's saying. You who lead with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What is mercy? Undeserved. We all know different people that come into our lives that don't deserve mercy. But then I look at my life and I say, neither did I. I was a stinker. I look back. I don't like what I see in the past. But I see God's hand watching over me, keeping me, and protecting me. It's called prevenient grace. What's prevenient grace? It's grace that precedes salvation. You've seen it in your life. Different people come into your life before you're saved. You see certain things that occur. That's prevenient grace. That's grace that precedes, that leads you to a decision that you have to make for your free will of salvation. Some people resist. Ah, that's coincidence. Ah, it's this, it's that. No, it's God's Holy Spirit. And he's calling us. Hallelujah. Some from the higher spots than others, but he calls and we all come to that place of repentance. Say, yeah, God, I've done it my way like Frank Sinatra, and it's empty. I need you. The last scripture is Jude 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. You build yourself up. I can't. I give you the word, but it's what you do with it. It's up to you. But you and I have to build ourselves up enough. When you're alone in the candy store, no one's looking, you could take a piece of candy. Or if someone in the store gives you a change of a 20 when you only gave them a 5, and you say, well, God's blessing me. No. Can you be honest enough when that money comes your way? Can you be honest enough when it seems like you can get away with things? You see, when you're alone, that's what shows your faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. Doing it around people doesn't show much faith. Well, they're watching me. I got to be good. No, do it when you're alone, and that's going to tell me where your heart is. But build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What would that be like? Well, you know, when you pray and recite just prayers that are from a book, it could be just recital from your brain. Our Father, what in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's just not praying in the Holy Spirit. It's praying in man's spirit. Now, you could pray the Lord's Prayer and be in the Spirit. As you think about the words, as you sense God's presence in that, as you sense God is leading me to pray this prayer, and it's in there, in your heart, it's coming out, that's good. But if it's just reciting, that's not praying in the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So he says, build yourself up, and prayer is, you hear, Pastor, you say prayer all the time. That's right, because that's what God says. What we do with it, that's up to each and every one of us. But I can tell you this. This kind does not come out except through prayer and fasting. If you pray and believe, you'll receive. I know prayer builds up your faith because you're exercising something you don't see because prayer is hard. It's stepping out into the unknown where you can't grab it. You know, it's easier to do works than it is prayer. Can I get an amen? See, just give me something to do and I'll do it. But prayer, that's for the pastor. No, prayer is for all of us. We got to learn, and it's a good place to learn. If you want to have faith with power, you have to start discipling yourself to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, to hear from God, but to get a system of prayer, a routine, and God will honor that. Pray in the Holy Spirit, number one, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What's getting in the way? Summertime, swimming. I don't want to go to church. Put God first. Sunday, I got to work. No. Now, this is no bragging about me, but I can tell you this. I was challenged when I was a steel worker, an iron worker, and working on Sunday, you get triple time. It was like, yeah, wow. No, I'm not going to do that. I said it to the Lord, and I didn't show up. And so, hey, why didn't you show up? It's going to be for a month, 6 weeks, whatever it is. No, I'm going to church. I believe in God, or however I said it. And God always honored me, but you know, it gave me power. I sensed victory because money was trying to buy me off, and the devil was trying to buy me off. But when you say no, when you put God first, church, I'm going to tell you, that's where the power comes. Can I get an amen? Well, we have to work. Okay, well, listen, that's between you and the Lord. All I can tell you is that when you put him first, he says he'll take care of you. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Evangelism. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Ah, man, this guy, this woman, they're in sin bad. Get the cooties. I don't want to get too close to that. Hating even the garment, but snatching them out of it. Give them a word of faith. Tell them Jesus died for their sins. And you don't know the hearts that God has prepared. Have mercy on others who are doubting. That's easy. So, well, I don't know about God. Well, have mercy on them. Don't say, yeah, you should have it by now. Have mercy, because you'll need it too. These are all examples of faith. Without faith, you don't grow. It's impossible to please God. It began with salvation, and you go from faith to faith. Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. Seek first, I'm summarizing, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you, O ye of little faith. And then he says, I'm in the boat with you and the storm is coming, but you sense his presence, God, but you're with me. I need to exercise faith. Well, now he'll take you to the next level. He'll send you out. A storm will come and you won't see him in the boat this time, but he'll come walking and you say, Lord, is that you? Yeah, come out. That's me. And you step out in faith. And you step out in faith and you're motivated because of, what's the word? Love. You can have all faith and have not love. It's nothing. Father, thank you for your word.